This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
What is the proper name of a hot dog?
Absolute Delight.
It is an absolute delight.
But I'll give them an A-plus for being able to eat ice cream with chopsticks. That's a real talent right there.
I stayed 5 hours at a Japanese restaurant one time trying to eat soup. My good. Now, welcome everybody to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. It is Trivia Friday. We also call this
Learning University.
Learning University is on the air. Your fine institute of higher education. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Or Professor Ed, as I say. And Bert Harper. Good morning, Brother Bert.
Good morning. It's good to be with you guys again.
Well, Professor Bert, now you're official now, man. You fill in so much.
You're one of the regular staff.
Yeah, you're one of the four.
It's amazing.
Pray for Brother J.J. Jasper. He's en route from Africa back to his home here in the U.S.
Right? From Kenya, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to Kenya to... Stopping in Germany for a little while, and then on to the U.S., and then home here in Mississippi. So, yeah.
That's a long trip. He went to get his daughter,
yeah,
who's been a missionary in Africa.
She's having to do some training here, so she had to come in. Originally, yep. She wasn't going to come this week, but needed training.
Yeah.
And after a year, needing more training, I guess, you know?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, so pray for J.J. Jasper and his daughter, Maddie, as they're coming back to the U.S. Again, I'm Tim with Ed and Bert and Trivia Friday. What are we doing here, Brother Ed?
Well, I tell you, as you mentioned, we're educating our students, okay? We're making them smarter,
mm-hmm.
better,
mm-hmm.
and awesomer.
Mm-hmm. One question at a time.
One question at a time. That's right. Raising your IQ, folks. Mm-hmm. One question at a time. So the three of us will each ask three questions. Bert, how many questions is that total?
Let me see. Three, one...
Yeah, nine questions. So we invite you to call in, ask, answer, or do both. We like for you to do both simply because once we get you on here, we want to keep you as long as possible. Here's the number to call if you want to be on the show, 888-589-8840. Again, that's the number to call to be on this show.
Are they eligible?
Yeah. Anybody can call in, no matter how many times they've been on with us. No,
if they're how old now? You got to be how old?
It's not true. You have to be 11 years old or older, and we do ask you to wait 2 months, 8 weeks, if you have been on the air with us before. Please wait 8 weeks to call in, but the number to call on the program, if you meet those very few criteria, is 888-589-8840. Now, Brother Bert, one of those nine questions, kind of special. What's up
with that? It's a mystery question, and when that question is answered and it's correct, you'll hear this sound. And that means...
The beloved cowbell.
Yeah, I love that sound. A lot of us here love that sound. I don't know about one of us, but...
Well, I tolerate it, and...
Well, if you hear that sound, you'll know that you will have won yourself a AFR ball cap, and we'll get that right in the mail to you and get it on the way.
It's in our resource center. If you want one, don't take a chance. You can buy one, too, can't you?
Go to resources.afa.net. That's resources.afa.net. You can take a look at it as well, and you can purchase one, or you can hopefully call in and answer the mystery question. And if you do it correctly, you'll win an AFR ball cap.
I got a question without an answer.
Okay. All right.
I'll just throw out there. Where does mail go? U.S. mail, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And this is not to disparage anyone who works for the mail service, okay? Because
right.
every company in America has its weaknesses.
Yes.
I understand that.
Right.
However, I will say this. As this, where do letters go that are mailed in May and are delivered in July?
Where does it go?
No, I want to go. Is there some kind of male purgatory?
That they got to work their way out of it.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. That letters have to go to,
and they sit there and wait.
And they sit there and wait. What does happen? You ever had this happen to you?
Oh yes, many times.
It's getting worse.
Go ahead. Which we talk about, you know, when it's I can't prove this, I guess, what I'm saying. It's hard to put into words. I can't prove this, but it seems to me like it is getting worse. Now, in defense of the U.S. Postal Service, they do deal with, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of billions of pieces of mail every year. So I do want to say, that, you know, that they could get overloaded. I want to know what happens to emails when you delete them. Where do they go?
Well,
you delete an email. It's I think where is it?
Africa.
It goes to Africa.
That's what I was taught.
The dumping ground of
email. I just wonder, do these letters sit in the bottom of a bin for 2 months? Oh, look what here.
Dead letter office, man.
One. All right.
Listen, that is a good. That is
that's a question. I want to know the answer.
If some of our listeners are members of the Postal Service, we encourage you to let us know what happens to those letters after they've been mailed and where do they reside for the months before we receive them. Mm-hmm. And so
don't give them my email.
comments@afa.net comments@afa.net
There
you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
We would be interested in knowing where the mail sits.
What happens?
I mean, is it in a back of a truck? Is it in someone's trunk? Their closet? What?
Yeah.
Well, hey, there have been some ballots made that's in the back of people's trunks. You know, that happened up in, was it Michigan or Wisconsin? Somewhere up there.
Yeah.
Oh,
Minnesota.
We found a bunch of voting ballots. Yeah.
Yeah, Shazam. Found them both. Ballots. Oh, after that. All right, go ahead, Ed. What you got?
Here are my three questions. First question, which one of the Bill of Rights protects citizens' property by forbidding seizure for public use without just compensation? Which one? It's a little bit long, but you get the idea here. Which one of the Bill of Rights protects citizens' property by forbidding seizure for public use without just compensation? I'm looking for the number of the amendment. Second question. Actor Frank Sutton played what famous character on the popular 1960s CBS show Gomer Pyle, USMC? Tip of the hat to Sean, who sent this in. Actor Frank Sutton played what famous character on the popular 1960s CBS show Gomer Pyle, USMC? And then final question, the King Cobra is not actually a cobra. Is that true or false? The King Cobra is not actually a cobra, but is that true or false? That's what I've got.
Okay, here's my three. In my Bible question, the Apostle Paul's occupation was a tent maker. There were two other people in the New Testament who were tent makers as well. Who are they? Who are they? And then this one, okay, I've debated whether to ask it, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. How many hairs does a person with a head full of hair lose in a day? Okay.
What now? What's that now?
How many hairs does a person with a head full of hair lose in a day?
That depends on how many teenagers they have.
Okay. Here, I'm going to give a multiple choice on this one. So 20, 40, or 60. It's one of those numbers. 20, 40, or 60.
And
how you can do this after you shower, you look in the drain and take them out and count them. And that way you'll know. So you can run, take your shower, and figure this out. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
There's some kind of psychological disorder name for that. if you take your hairs out of your drain and count them, you got some kind of serious issue going on there.
Maybe more than one serious
issue.
Maybe one.
People who have no hair have fewer drain problems.
Is that true?
That's true. Okay. Okay. Here's the third question. Mayberry. What is the name of the drugstore in Mayberry where Ellie, the pharmacist, works? And matter of fact, I'll give a little hint. That was her last name as well. Okay. Ellie. Okay.
I know it.
Okay.
That's a good hint, though.
That's a good hint. That's my three.
All right. I'd like to have a baby boomer question. Here's the baby boomer question. And others may know the answer to this as well, but who was Popeye the Sailor Man's girlfriend? Who was Popeye the Sailor Man? Surprised you got it dated all. That stuttering problem.
I am who I am.
Anyway, so who was Popeye? All right, guys. Reel it in.
You started it.
I know
you
I did.
Get me going down Popeye memory lane.
Who was Popeye the Sailor Man's best girl? Okay. All right. From the world of science comes this question. What is the process of liquid becoming a gas called? What is the process of a liquid becoming a gas called? There's a scientific name for that that you should remember from your sixth grade biology class.
A long time ago for some of us.
If you were paying attention.
Many hairs ago.
From the world of sports, I want to know the answer to this question. Baseball Hall of Famers Hank Aaron, Hammer and Hank.
Oh, yeah.
And Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid, grew up in the same state. What state is that?
Good question.
Those are two of the top 10 names in all of baseball history.
Yeah.
Right there. Willie Mays and Hank Aaron. And they grew up in the same state.
Same state.
In the same era. They played high school against each other.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. What state was that? That's what I want to know.
You got questions from the world of cartoons.
I do.
The world of science and the world of sports.
Wide world of questions.
You just call me a Renaissance man.
Hey.
Huh? All right, Gus, go in.
All right, okay.
Let's go to North Carolina, and it's Todd. Thank you for calling, Todd.
Well, good morning, professors.
Good morning.
Hey,
Todd
Brother
from
Todd.
Seagrove.
All right. But probably Todd's won more than anybody else in trivia show history, the mystery question.
Maybe several histories.
Yeah.
But certainly Trivia Friday history.
All right, Todd. So you doing good, brother?
Doing fine. Okay. Just going through another summer here in North Carolina.
Yeah. Do you live on the coast there?
No, I'm in the central North Carolina.
Central. Oh, well, hot and humid, huh? Hot and muggy.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir. Anyway, Todd, go ahead. Ask or answer or both?
I'm going to do both, and I'm going to answer Ed's question about Frank Sutton.
All right, here's the question, Todd. Actor Frank Sutton played what famous character on the popular 1960s CBS show Gomer Pyle, USMC?
He played Sergeant Vince Carter.
Oh, that's right.
I think the anniversary.
Shazam, he got it. Shazam.
Yes, he got it. I saw the actor Frank Sutton's name pop up. It's the anniversary of his death. He passed away when he was 50 years old, pretty young. But he was actually an Army sergeant who served during World War II, actually 43 to 46, and was awarded the Bronze Star and Purple Heart for his service.
Way to go, man.
But he was in the Army. He played a Marine Corps drill instructor. He was gunnery sergeant.
Just a lovable character.
He's one of those actors who, when he acted angry, You believed it. You believed it.
Yeah.
So,
hey, how'd you know that, Todd?
Oh, I grew up with that show. I remember seeing that in its original run, so that's been a long-time association.
Well, and Sergeant Carter, the dynamic there between those two characters was just hilarious because Powell was just so innocent, he could never be offended by Sergeant Carter. Sergeant Carter would just be up in his face, all but cussing him out, and he just, yes, sir, Sergeant Carter.
Yes, sir. And the Gomer Pyle character, I remember I have a friend who said this years ago, I never forgot it, but the character of Gomer Pyle was such that if you spit in his face, he would assume his eyebrows were on fire. No.
Well, my favorite line from from Gomer Pyle, from his character, which was a line he repeated often. Was I do like Shazam.
Okay.
Shazam. Yeah. I do like that one. But my favorite was Shame, Shame, Shame.
That was back when TV characters had some.
Right.
Had
right.
a sense
on
of shame.
On the Andy Griffith Show, y'all know, yeah. he kissed Thelma Lou. Yeah. And the way he said he had to marry her then.
Yes. After kiss. One
and,
kiss.
Okay.
So no, she kissed him.
She kissed him.
On the jaw.
Yeah, that's right.
On the jaw.
So she had to take the kiss back.
Yes. I remember that.
Yeah. All right, Todd, fire away, my friend. What do you got for us?
All right. Well, I have a Bible question for you. In the Bible, what is the other name that Mount Calvary is known by?
We were talking about Golgotha.
Golgotha.
Place of the skull.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
For us. Yes, the place of the skull. And I will say this, and many of our listeners have been to the Holy Land. You can go there to the place of the skull or Golgotha, what is traditionally or thought of as, and then they describe it, and it looks still today. There was a skull up until about 7 or 8 years ago when an ice storm caused the nose feature on the skull to collapse.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it doesn't exactly look like it did for centuries.
Yeah.
It's not definitive, but
right.
they make a good case that
it
that
sure
is,
looks like it.
Yes, that is the place.
And the Protestants and the Catholics disagree about the location.
Right, we're right.
But
I'm just saying, what I'm saying? I love Catholics, but we're right on that one.
But I have been to the Holy Land, and this was before.
I'm sorry to be interrupted.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say. Yeah, in November, it will be 30 years ago since the first and only time that I went to Israel.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, you know how special it is to go there. But anyway, Brother Todd, thanks. Good to hear your voice, and we'll see you again in a few weeks. Thank you, my friend.
Eight weeks.
Okay.
So you're listening to Trivia Friday, also known as Learning University. On American Family Radio. Go ahead, Ed. Bert.
Okay, Tom from Mississippi. Thank you, Tom, for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. I see that you were left over. So,
from
man,
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks. That's a long time to hang on.
Yes. Our faithful listeners.
Okay. Would you want to answer, ask, or both?
I'll try both.
Okay. Which question do you want to answer?
The one about Popeye the sailor.
Okay, Tom. Here's the question I have. Who was Popeye the Sailor Man's girlfriend?
Olive oil.
Olive oil.
And Todd. Excuse me, Tom. For an AFR ball cap.
Oh.
Okay. I'm going to send you an AFR ball cap if you can spell olive oil in one try.
The way they spelled it, right?
Oh, the way they spell it.
for the character.
Yes, the character's name.
Let's see. I'll take a stab. I think it's A-R-L-E-V-E-A-L-L.
No, I think you're doing Wheel of Fortune right there, Brother Tom. This is the way you spell it is O-L-I-V-E, olive, like everybody.
Right.
But oil, for olive oil, the character is O-Y-L.
O-Y-L.
I thought I remembered that. That's
but
it.
Anyway, good way right. to go, Tom. Olive oil is the, she was Popeye the Sailor Man's girlfriend, for sure.
Wait, what's your question for us, Tom?
Okay. What is Louisiana's state bird?
Surely it's the pelican.
I'm going to go pelican.
Yeah, I'm going to go with these guys. Pelican.
That's the name of the basketball team anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pelican?
Pelican, Tom?
Brown pelican.
Woo. All right.
Hey, way to go.
The pelican of color is what you're saying, Tom. Is that what you're saying?
Pelicans, they seem like real sweet little birds, but they are voracious eaters. I saw a video once where this pelican at this public park was just scooping up baby ducks, bed ducklings, eating it. And all these kids are horrified because they think a pelican's a sweet little bird. They're just scooping them up and just swallowing them whole. And these kids are screaming.
The rest of the story of that pelican.
So the brown pelican is the state bird of the state of Louisiana. Okay.
Good to know. Way to go.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you. Love y'all.
Thank you, brother. Did you know, guys, that back to Popeye for just a minute. That cartoon character, Olive Oil, was first introduced in 1919 for a comic strip called Thimble Theater, and then the strip was later renamed Popeye.
Yeah.
After the sailor character became the most popular member of the cast,
So Popeye was not the main character when the comic strip started. That's interesting.
The spinach finally came out, guys. Yes, it had to win.
Right. Yes. The Popeye took over, and Olive Oil became the main character. Her boyfriend.
Can I just get to do a little quick little story?
Yeah.
So on Saturday mornings, a lot of mornings, my dad would wrestle with me. Okay, so I'd jump in the bed, and you know we had time to get up, and I'd wrestle, and I would be Popeye most of the time. I'd be Popeye, and we'd wrestle, and then I would eat my spinach. Like Popeye did, and then he would let me pin him, okay? And then it was over, and it was time to eat breakfast. But one time, I ate my spinach, and my dad just pinned me. And I said, but I ate my spinach. And he said, I don't care. Anyway, it was funny to me.
All right, back to the phones.
Okay, let's go to North Carolina. Rick, thank you for calling.
Well, good morning, learned professors. How are y'all doing on this fine Friday morning?
Hey, Brother Rick, very nice to hear from you, and we're doing well. Thank you for asking.
I think so, yeah.
Yes, sir. Where do you live in North Carolina?
Jacksonville, North Carolina, the proud home of Camp Lejeune, North Carolina.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Yes. A lot of great Americans
We
right
got a
there.
Lot of listeners that's around these Army camps and therefore. It's great.
Yep. So, absolutely, Rick, well, ask, answer, or both?
Well, I think I'd like to do both, if I could, please.
Okay. Which question do you want to answer?
I think I'm going to go with the drugstore on the Andy Griffith Show.
Okay.
All right.
Here it is. Are you an Andy Griffith Show fan?
Rick? For many, many years.
Okay. Well, I think you'll know this.
I was much younger, and even now I watch a lot of it on the syndicated stations and networks, so yeah.
Amen. It's been
a part of my life for quite a few of my 68 years.
Amen. Well, here's the question. What is the name of the drugstore in Mayberry where Ellie, the pharmacist, worked?
That would be Walker's Drugstore.
Woo, way to go, way to go.
Walker's Drugstore.
That was her uncle that owned it, and she came to be the pharmacist there. And that was Andy's first girlfriend.
Yes.
And
I remember the episode where she ran for mayor.
Or councilwoman or mayor.
Councilwoman, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Ellie Walker. That was the cheer.
Way to go. Well, you got your question for us, Rick?
Yes, I do. And I got this one. I wrote this one down and up for Brother Tim because I know he's big into, government and American history. Mm-hmm. Who is the only person to have served as a United States President and Chief Justice of the Supreme Court?
Taft comes to mind.
That's who it is.
William Taft.
William?
Is that right? Is that right, Rick? William Taft?
You're exactly right.
Yeah. Can you imagine in one lifetime serving as both Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and President of the United States and when you go to your class reunion,
he was also a first baseman for the New York Yankees for a while. You know, so
class reunion, you're going like, what do you do? Whatever became of you?
What'd you spend your life doing?
Hey, Rick, thanks for calling, buddy. Appreciate it very much. We're going to take a short time out right here, and we'll be back with more of Trivia Friday on American Family Radio.
If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives.
which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor five ultrasounds. And now, through a match, your gift is doubled. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm strong to the finish, 'cause I eat big finish. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm one of Gazookas, which hates all palookas, but hates honey up and square up.
That is a. You're listening there to Frank Sinatra's version of Popeye the Sailor Man. What a range that guy had.
Yes, I guess so. And I'll tell you, it was a supreme disappointment in life after being real young and watching Popeye the Sailor to taste actual spinach. Good grief.
Kids don't like spinach. I like it sautéed.
Well, I will eat it sautéed, and I'll eat it else in raw it.
Put some olive oil on it.
Some olive oil.
You see what I did there?
Yeah. No, I see it.
That was so bad, it was good.
And it goes good with hamburgers.
Hamburgers?
What was that guy?
Oh, Wimpy.
Wimpy, yeah.
I'll gladly pay you for a hamburger on Monday. Pay you on Tuesday.
Trivia Friday it is on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and Bert, we thank you for listening to AFR and also for just tuning into Trivia Friday, also known as
Learning University.
Learning University is on the air. We're going to go back to our calls, but before we do, we need to reset our questions, fellas.
Yeah, and I'll have to add one. No problem there. I got plenty. First question, which one of the Bill of Rights protects citizens' property by forbidding the government from seizing for public use without just compensation? I'm looking for the number of the amendment.
Oh, yeah, because I think most of us know what that phrase is associated with that, but you're asking for
the actual number, the amendment of in the Bill of Rights.
And that amendment in the Bill of Rights is just for that purpose?
No, there are some other things too as well. Okay. All right, second question. The king cobra is not actually a cobra, but is that true or false?
Nothing's real in this world anymore.
but it is a king, right? It may not be, but it is a king no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know what I mean here.
And then final question, this is pretty easy, but, you know, you got to throw some easy ones in.
Yeah, throw them some softballs.
Who is famous for saying, "Everyone complains about the weather, but nobody does anything about it"? Who is famous for saying, "Everyone complains about the weather, but nobody does anything about it"?
That's good.
Okay, I'm adding one. The Apostle Paul, this is not the one I'm adding, but this is the Bible question. The Apostle Paul's occupation was a tent maker. What other two people in the New Testament were tent makers as well? You'll find that. They are there. And then, here is the second one that I wanted to add. How many hairs does a person with a head full of hair lose in a day? 20, 40, or 60? It is one of those numbers, close to it, rounded off. It could go either way, one or two. Yeah. And then the third question is true or false. John Quincy Adams, president, had a pet alligator that he kept in the White House bathtub. Is that true or false?
Repeat that one again.
Okay. Yeah. President John Quincy Adams had a pet alligator that he kept in a White House bathtub. Can you imagine? True or false? If that's true, can you imagine going to the bathtub and finding it?
I think that precedes the Secret Service. I don't think that. They didn't sign up for that one. Sir, we'll protect you from would-be assassins, but we're
not messing with the alligator.
We ain't messing with no alligators, okay? All right, so here are my two questions that have gone unanswered. Number one, Baseball Hall of Famers Hammer and Hank Aaron and Willie Say Hey Kid Mays, the Say Hey Kid, they both grew up in the same state. They played high school against each other, and then both obviously had legendary professional baseball careers. Household names they are. What state did they grow up and play ball against each other?
I don't know the answer to that. That's a great question.
My second question is, again, from the world of science, and that is this. What is the process of a liquid becoming a gas called? What is that called? So there you go. Ed, let's go back to the phone.
All right. Brother Bert's our
okay, let's
MC.
Go.
Yeah, MC today.
Let's go to Ohio. Ron, thank you for calling.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you're on, man. What part of Ohio are you calling from?
I'm from Steubenville, Ohio, which is near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Yeah, and you guys, that's the home of Dean Martin.
Up Steubenville?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Every June we have the Dean Martin Festival.
How do you know this kind of stuff, Tim?
I read a lot.
Really? Okay.
You know, all right. I am an avid reader and have been my whole life. So, yeah. I mean, I'll read the news every day and also pop culture, sports, whatever.
That's phenomenal.
To be a leader, you got to be a reader.
Also, yeah. I've been to Steubenville, and there's a sign.
Okay.
And I remembered it, home of Dean Martin.
Okay. Hey, Ron, you want to ask, answer, or both?
I would like to do both.
Which question you want to ask?
Bert, I would like to answer your question about the tent makers.
Okay, here it is. You ready? Here it is.
Yep.
The Apostle Paul's occupation was a tent maker. What other two people in the New Testament were tent makers as well?
Priscilla and Aquila.
Woo, that is right. Way to go.
Wait, what is that noise?
Hey,
what is that sound?
You know what that means, Ron?
I guess that means I'm going to get a ball cap.
That's right. So you want to hang on, man. Yeah.
So you can.
I'm happy.
You can wear that to your to the Buckeyes start playing. Then you need to switch over probably.
Or you can wear it to the festival.
Yeah. Yeah. AFR ball cap, it is a very nice one. We didn't go cheap on these.
No.
It's awesome. Hey, Ron, did you just know that off the top of your head? Or did you have to look it up?
No, I did not have to look it up. I read the Bible every day in the morning and at the night, and I knew that answer.
Way to go. You find it in Acts 18. Now, there are mentioned about three other places, but in Acts 18, verses 2 and 3, it says they, like Paul, did this. They were bivocational, just like Paul was. Okay. Great.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. Well, Ron, what's your question for us?
Well, esteemed professors, I have a classical music question for you, and it is this. How many symphonies did Mozart write?
How many symphonies did Mozart write? I'm the worst one to ask for this.
Hey, did you not say from 1 to 10?
Yeah.
All right. Ooh, okay. Wait. Right. Hang on a second, Ron.
I know Beethoven's fifth.
How do we know this is not like a trick question? And he didn't actually write like a symphony. He wrote other things.
Oh, man. Okay. Hey, he's laughing.
I'm going to say zero.
Okay.
All right, well, you guys can guess if you want. I mean,
five. Since Beethoven did five, I thought Mozart would do as good as he.
Symphonies? I've never heard of Mozart symphonies, but, you know. Go ahead. I'm going to say zero.
I'm a classical music teacher, so I kind of have an advantage here.
Yeah. What's the answer?
The answer is 41.
40.
You were way off. My five was closer than your zero.
That's why Ron was laughing, because I said, well, I thought maybe it was some kind of trick question, that it wasn't quite called a symphony, but hey, 41, that's insane.
When did Mozart...
41.
Mozart, when did he live?
Mozart lived from 1756 to 1791. He died at the age of 35.
But he wrote 41 symphonies. Did he start writing them, Ron, when he was like a kid or something? Was he one of those prodigals?
Yeah, a child prodigy.
Prodigy.
Not a prodigy. I didn't want to correct you right
well,
there.
Well, yeah, okay.
I was waiting, man.
Prodigy, yes. I walked into that one. That was pretty bad.
That was a good one, though.
Yeah, he had an older brother, so he was a prodigal.
Oh, we know.
Okay, how young was he?
He started writing simple piano pieces when he was 5 years old. And I think it was by the time that he was 10 to 12 when he wrote his first symphony.
Okay.
That's just insane.
Absolutely. Listen, amazing.
I try not to apply pressure to my grandchildren, but I'm going to share this story with them.
Yes.
Because, you know, just because you're young doesn't mean you can't achieve world history dominance.
Yes.
In the world of music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just because you're a child doesn't mean you can't become a prodigy.
300 years from now, they need to be talking about what you did.
Yes.
Maybe they'll know the difference in prodigal and prodigy.
Yes, we're praying. That would be a good start.
That would be a good start.
We don't want any of your grandkids to become prodigals, but now prodigy. Jeez, that's...
Hey, what about Beethoven? When did he live?
Beethoven lived from 1770 to 1827. He died at age 57, and he wrote 9 symphonies.
So Beethoven, you're saying, was after Mozart?
Yes.
What nationalities were they?
Well, Mozart lived and worked in the country of Austria. And Beethoven was in Germany.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, that part of the world has produced some pretty significant history.
When did they hire him to write the introduction to the Lone Ranger?
All right.
Time to go, Ron.
Ron, hang on. We're going to put you on hold. And
alrighty.
Cindy Roberts will get your information, and we will get that cap in the mail to you. We have no idea when you'll actually get it. So if you heard our earlier discussions, hey Ron, we do appreciate you calling in, and you dropped some good knowledge on our listeners. So
learning, we call it
learning. Here. Absolutely. So good on you, brother.
All right, you're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and Bert here. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net,
comments@afa.net. comments@afa.net. Right? It doesn't matter? Okay. Never mind. I'm sorry. I'm just being a prodigal today. comments@afa.net or comments@afr.net.
It doesn't matter.
Obviously, I'm not a prodigy.
I've been saying comments@afr.net forever.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I'm just going by the page that they have here.
Anyway, send us an email. It doesn't matter. You'll never get here anyway, probably. So.
Lost in space.
All right, let's repeat our questions, guys, real quick.
All right, here are my three questions. Which one of the Bill of Rights, I'm looking for the number of the amendment, protects citizens' property by forbidding seizure for public use without just compensation? Second question, it's a true false. The king cobra is not actually a cobra, but is that true or false? And then final question, who is famous for saying, everyone complains about the weather, but nobody does anything about it?
Okay, here's two questions. This is one original, what has not been answered. How many hairs does a person with a head full of hair lose in a day? I'm giving you a multiple choice, 20, 40, or 60. That's rounded off a little bit. And then this one, true or false, President John Quincy Adams had a pet alligator that he kept in a White House bathtub. Is that true or false?
All right, my two questions. Baseball Hall of Famers Hank Aaron and Willie Mays grew up in the same state and played high school ball against each other. What state were these fellas from? And number two, what is the process of a liquid becoming a gas called? What's the scientific name for that? Go ahead, Ed.
Okay, let's go to Mississippi. Beverly, thank you for calling.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well. What part of Mississippi are you from, Beverly?
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. The thriving metropolis of Wiggins.
Oh, yeah. South Mississippi.
Stone County.
Yes. Way down south. Yeah, yes, sir.
Well, do you want to answer, ask,
yes,
or both?
Do both.
Okay. Which question do you want to answer?
Well, I'm so mad because they got the hat because I was going to answer that one about the tent maker, but I will do the hairs.
Okay. Mm. Here it is. How many hairs does a person with a head full of hair lose in a day? 20, 40, or 60?
I'm going to say 60.
Woo, way to go.
Is that right? 60?
It's between 50 and 100. That is it.
Yeah.
So I put the other two below.
I believe it.
It was just too many. But that is what they're saying for the person who has hair.
That, wow, that's a lot of hair.
Yeah, now,
I
for the person
it.
Who doesn't have hair,
yeah, but it,
they, obviously lose, they're not losing.
They're not losing.
If you're losing 60 a day, you're going to switch categories pretty quick. I'm going to tell you right now, huh?
Yeah.
That's almost alarming.
It is, man. Listen, it is. But that's
somebody,
what,
somebody had a. Count those.
They
I
had
mean,
to count.
Somebody had to.
I've got this book, and somebody gave me after I started, you know, being a visiting professor here.
Yes.
A book on unusual facts.
Yeah.
And so I went through that, and I thought, well.
That's the question you picked.
Yeah. I don't know why, Tim.
Well, Bert is such a prodigal. You know.
I know, right.
Okay. Hey, Beverly, what's your question for us?
Yeah, I had four girls.
Oh,
so,
me.
Yeah,
listen.
A lot of hair.
Yeah. Did you know men's hair grow faster than women's hair?
You keep using up questions that
I
you
know,
could use
but
next
this
time.
Is, hey, with that new
I
book,
that.
I got plenty of questions.
Yeah.
Okay, Beverly, go right ahead with your question for us.
This is a very sensitive subject matter for me and has been for 30 years. So I'd appreciate it if we'd move on.
We can move on.
Yeah.
Move on, okay, to Beverly's question.
That's the reason I wear a hat.
Okay. What is the hurdy-gurdy?
It's like a hokey-pokey, I think, isn't it?
The hurdy-gurdy. Gurdy.
They do it out in Asia. It's like the Asian version of the hokey-pokey.
Isn't the hurdy-gurdy like when you overextend yourself and pull a muscle real bad?
Oh, my Lanta.
Oh, my Lanta.
Oh, my Lanta. Is that, wait a minute now. So you're at, the question is, what is A or what is the hurdy-gurdy?
What is a hurdy-gurdy?
I've heard that this expression, hurting? But it's been
hurting
it's
gurdies.
Been an age.
You're so funny.
What a hurdy-gurdy?
Hurdy-gurdy.
Hurdy-gurdy.
It's just funny to say it, isn't it, Beverly?
Like, I think she's going verbal snipe hunting with us right here.
No, I have heard this. Yeah. I've heard this before.
What is the hurdy? No, what now, is a hurdy-gurdy?
What is a hurdy-gurdy?
Hey, I'm anxious to find out.
Y'all didn't like my joke about if you pull a muscle real bad, you have to get surgery? Oh,
funny.
You got it.
It hurt. It hurt.
You do the hurdy-jurdy, you need to turn yourself about. I know that right now.
Don't stick your foot in.
Yeah.
All right.
We don't know. It sounds painful.
Okay, you're going to die. Because it came up on my Bing yesterday on my computer. Mm-hmm. It is a unique string instrument that is kind of like a violin, but it's short and squatty, and it's hand cranked by a wheel that rubs against the strings similar to a violin. You know, does on a bow, you know, violin bow.
Who
works.
In the world would give it that name?
Right. It's from the medieval period.
All right. Maybe I have not heard of it because that is just nowhere. That's nowhere near where I was thinking. A hurdy-gurdy.
There's a video game named Hurdy-Gurdy.
You know, really,
I'm looking at it right now. I Googled it.
There's a hat.
Yeah, the hurdy-gurdy. Also known as the wheel.
How do you spell that? Is it H-E-R?
H-U-R-D-Y.
No, sir. H-U-R-D-Y.
Oh, D-Y.
U-R-D-Y.
Also known as the wheel fiddle.
H-U.
hurdy-gurdy instrument. Yes. There
is a string instrument that produces sound by turning a crank, like she said.
This is Learning University.
Oh, look at that. Wow, that's
rosin wheel around the strings.
That is.
It sounds like to me it's cheating, though. You got some kind of You got some kind of a wheel fiddle?
That's like a player piano.
So what
that
do you
just
do?
Doesn't count.
Is a string instrument produced sound by turning a crank to rub a rosin.
Now, okay, so Beverly, so how did you come up with this question? You said this popped up on a search that you were doing. On Bing?
Yeah, no, every morning on my computer, it pops up a different location around the world, a picture of it.
Yeah.
And if you hit it, it describes it and then asks you questions and everything, and that was one of them.
Huh. I believe I would look up hurdy-gurdy. I believe I'd have followed through with that as well.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I'm like, they're never going to get this one.
No, you're right.
Yeah, but that's a good question.
That was We've had Beethoven.
We've had music questions today from medieval time periods.
That's where Beethoven learned it, I bet.
Playing the hurdy-gurdy.
Yeah, playing the hurdy-gurdy.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much. Let's go to Kansas and talk to Joyce. Joyce, thank you for calling.
Hi.
Hi. Yes,
hi, Joyce.
Where do you live in Kansas?
Mm-hmm. I live in Abilene.
Abilene,
oh, wow,
Kansas.
Man. Western town for sure. That is it.
Well, it's not way west. It's about 2 hours, 2.5 hours west of Kansas City.
Okay. From Mississippi, it's west, Joel. We just want you to know that's west.
Past Salina, right?
It's 20 miles west of Salina.
Okay.
20 miles east of Salina.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, east.
We go west to get to Salina. So.
All right.
20 miles.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, ask, answer, or both?
Both.
Okay. Which one do you want to answer?
I'll answer the question about the Bill of Rights.
Okay. Here's the question, Joyce. Which one of the Bill of Rights protects citizens' property by forbidding seizure for public use without just compensation?
That would be the Fourth Amendment.
No, ma'am.
No?
I mean, no? No, it's not the Fourth. So I can't give you any more hints than that because
Now you got to remember Ed's a prodigy. So he knows.
Well, I'm
he
not
knows
a prodigy
that.
Today.
pretty plain, isn't it?
Huh?
I mean, it's yeah.
Yeah.
There's not any question about it, right?
No.
It's not the Fourth.
Yeah. Good try.
Good try, Joyce. Thank you for calling.
But, well,
she's got a question.
Go ahead.
Okay. My question is, there was a presidential couple who, during their lifetime, they exchanged over 1,100 letters with each other. Who was that?
It had to be John and Abigail.
Adams. I'm going to – oh, yeah, maybe –
yeah, because they were apart. He had to go all over and – she was running the farm.
I was first going to say Ronald Reagan and Nancy, but I think you're right because Ronald Reagan and Nancy probably weren't apart as much as John and Abigail. What do you think, Tim?
That's a lot of pressure on a man. you know what I'm. Oh, she wrote me another letter. Now I got to write back
again.
I don't have anything left to say. Hey, honey, I went fishing today. Goodbye.
They didn't say how long they were.
Yeah,
that's true.
All right, we're going to go with Brother Bert's answer. Is he right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Ah, Brother Bert.
You sound disappointed.
John and Abigail Adams.
They say she was one of the most influential women of the founding fathers, that she really communicated with him some great, great information about founding our country.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Even more influential than the lady who invented all those snack cakes, Dolly Madison.
Yeah. We didn't say which one had a lasting influence.
Yes.
We just talked about the recent those times. Hey, Joyce, thank you for calling. Amen.
Yeah, she has one other thing.
Go ahead, Joyce.
I thought that the answer was to the question was the Fourth Amendment, because the Fourth Amendment says it protects people from unreasonable searches and seizures. That's why I thought it was the Fourth.
Maybe this is seizure for public use without just compensation. Just a little bit different emphasis.
But, close, but no.
But yeah. Thank you for being a student of the Constitution. Okay. So,
okay.
Thank you, Joyce. You.
Okay.
All right. Well, why don't we maybe reset our questions one last time before the 5-minute break, top of the hour. Here are my – I'm sitting on these three, have not had anybody really – except for the Joyce here on this top one. Which one of the Bill of Rights protects citizens' property by forbidding the government's seizure for public use without just compensation? Second question – the king cobra is not actually a cobra, but is that true or is it false? And then third question, I thought this one would be pretty easy and pretty quickly answered, but it's got some staying power. Who is famous for saying everyone complains about the weather, but nobody does anything about it?
Okay, here's I'm going to add one because I've had them answered. This one is true or false. President John Quincy Adams had a pet alligator that he kept in a White House bathtub, and this white cross breed dog was made to be a hypoallergenic guide dog for a blind woman.
All right.
That's a crossbreed.
What do you got, Tim?
My questions are, and so we're going to come back and go right to calls.
Yeah.
Okay. Baseball Hall of Famers Hank Aaron and Willie Mays grew up together. Well, not in the same town necessarily, but they grew up in the same state. And what state is that? Hank Aaron and Willie Mays, two legendary names from the world of baseball, Major League Baseball. And then my second question was, what is the process of a liquid becoming a gas called? What's the name of that? We'll be back in just a few minutes.